Speaking of the Olympics, we now are about to speak to Olympic and sports rights and broadcast experts. He was once the head of major events for BBC Sport. In fact, he delivered the London 2012 Games for the BBC. Hello, Dave Gordon. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Good evening from here.
Now, Dave,
London, good morning to you.
Yeah, well, take us through the scenes there in London at the moment.
Well, it's all I can judge is from my television, because I'm sort of, I can stay in my house all day and I'm allowed out to walk once. Those are the new rules in the last few days. So I'm very fortunate to have some fields nearby. So I've done a couple of laps for the fields, but it's very eerie, it's very strange, and I think people are frightened, I think. I think that's the word I'd use. You know, it's quite intimidating, and the older you are, the more you worry about it. It's quite tough, but, you know, we're sharing this with the rest of the world, aren't we? We're all facing it.
We certainly are. Dave, what are your thoughts on the decision to postpone Tokyo? Was there any other choice?
I don't think so. Actually, before I say anything else, I should just, you know, give the Australian Olympic Committee some credit for precipitating the decision. You know, I thought it was, you know, between Japan and the IOC, they might have taken it a few days ago, a week or so ago. But, you know, when you and Canada came out and said, you know, you weren't going to send a team to Tokyo, I think that just kicked them over the edge, made up their minds. And I don't think there's any alternative whatsoever. You know, it's just common sense, and you know, it's the fair thing generally for the athletes. You know, yeah, one or two are going to find it difficult, but you know, overall, it was the only thing.
Hey, Dave, from a content and broadcast perspective, how much work goes into preparing for such a large event, and what's the likely sort of scramble that's going on now behind the scenes?
Yeah, to be honest, I wouldn't want to overstate it, because you know, this is a, you know, really a life and death situation, and you know to talk about the sort of nuances of broadcast preparations, you know, it's not quite right yet. But yeah, I mean, broadcasters would have started planning this, you know, the moment the games were announced in 2013, you know, there would have been some thoughts about it, and you know, particularly after Rio, preparations would have ramped up. You know, budgets allocated, logistics sorted out. You know, so, yeah, I mean, there will be a bit of sort of, you know, the big broadcasters will be sweating. You've got seven, haven't you, who are the right holders in Australia. But, you know, they've got a lot of experience similar to the BBC. You know, they've got some really class operators who run their Olympic coverage down under. And, you know, I think they will cope with it. They'll take it in their stride. It won't be without its challenges, but, you know, they're very professional, and, you know, they'll be absolutely focused on delivering, you know, a great event for the audience whenever it takes place. And I think that's the key issue at the moment. When is it going to take place?
Just on a local front here, Dave, the coronavirus crisis has really exposed, say, the NRL and the AFL here. I'm sure it's the case as well in the UK with the English Super League, just how much we rely on that income from broadcast revenue. And we're seeing clubs here in Australia lay off all their staff or sending head coaches home on leave with no pay at the moment. What do you see as the future for broadcast rights, as far as we've seen an explosion of player salaries here as a result of huge increases in broadcast rights over the last 10, 15 years, despite the fact there's more competition in the market now with the streaming services that are coming around, like Netflix, etc. Are the days of these sort of mega broadcast deals over? I know in football it's probably a different story because of the size of the market you're dealing with, but for sports like rugby league and AFL, is the trend just going to start going down?
I would guess so. I think that would be my best estimate, you know, as we're talking now. I think there'll be so many challenges for broadcasters. You know, I don't think they'll be able to afford those sort of large fees anymore. BBC here is slightly different because obviously it doesn't take advertising, but there'll be a real loss of commercial income for the broadcasters. Same for the sports, of course. and you know, sponsorship will be hard to come by. I think there'll be sort of a realignment, probably not before time, but you know, I think there'll be some very tough calls for people to have to make, and one or two of the broadcasters will get themselves in a position where they'll turn around to the rights holders, the sports, and say, well, no, we can't afford this anymore. You know, you have to lower your expectations. And, you know, I think it'd be quite difficult all round, really.
Dave, you're one of the world's more experienced broadcasters. No doubt you've seen some great sporting moments, though. What is at the top of the pile for you?
Well, I've seen loads of fantastic sporting moments, but most of them sort of behind the TV screen. I've seen far less in the flesh than I wish I had, really. But, you know, you remember the great places you go to, and, you know, if you were to ask me my sort of favourite Olympics, I'd probably say, other than London, which would have to be top of the tree, but second would definitely be the Sydney Olympics, because I just thought, you know, they were a fantastic event. You know, the people of Sydney embraced the Olympics and the Paralympics with, you know, all their heart. You know, it was just a really feel-good event, and the Brits won loads of medals. It was the resurgence of British sport, really. So that was great. And, you know, lots of sports events. You know, I was lucky enough to be on the Gold Coast in the build-up to the Commonwealth Games in 2018. And on one of my visits, I got to go to the Saturday of the Ashes Test in Brisbane. You know, a great, great thing on my bucket list to go to. Well, it was great till lunchtime, and then it sort of rather degenerated, really. But we shouldn't really talk about England's cricket form, should we?
No. Who was the worst Australian captain you've seen, though, Dave? Was it Michael Clarke?
Well, you know, I'm not going to go down that road.
Get it out, Dave. Get off the fence, Dave.
Don't be shy.
Michael was one of the absolute greats.
Good man. Good man. Couldn't agree more, Dave.
To be honest, this would be on one of my bucket list of broadcasting moments, you know, to share an interview with the great Michael Clarke.
Ah, thank you, buddy. Mine
That's
too.
Enough, Dave. See ya.
Dave, we got another 11 minutes. You're staying. You're going nowhere. Dave, I got one for you. What's the latest on Prince Charles?
Well, they say he's okay. You know, he's got the coronavirus, but he's up in Scotland, keeping himself to himself. He's occupying a separate part of the house to Camilla as well, and the good news is the Queen is well and living in Windsor at the moment with the Duke of Edinburgh. So, you know, but you know, it's nervous times, really. Nervous times for everybody, and you know, that was a bit of a surprise today, but you know, whatever you say about Prince Charles, I mean, he does go out and meet the people, and you know, proverbially shaking hands at the moment. You know, I think he's tried the namaste bit, but he's, you know, he forgets himself and shakes hands as well. So, but anyway, let's hope he gets over it, and hopefully that won't be too long. But I will share one other Aussie moment, if I might, because I was lucky enough to work with Network 10 in Glasgow on the Commonwealth Games with a good friend of mine, Dave Barham, who Michael might know from cricket and the Bash and all that. And you know, Dave has been a good friend to me. He persuaded me to work with him at Glasgow. But I must say, I got every time I cheered for a home country athlete, I got fined. It's an expensive trip. You know, now, to be fair, I put the money in the jar and got it back at the end. I've had a great team at 10 in Glasgow and made a lot of friends and saw quite a lot of them in on the Gold Coast as well. So, enough about me. There are serious. Can I just talk about one serious issue at the moment?
Go ahead.
Which is a sort of knock on the Commonwealth Games. Because, you know, there's a lot of talk about when the Olympics can be rescheduled for, and as a result, they might affect the World Athletics and World Swimming Championships in 2021. And there's suggestion they could get bumped to 2022. You've probably been reporting this, to be fair. And the organisers of the Commonwealth Games are really worried. Birmingham Commonwealth Games is going to be on the same dates as London 10 years on. So 27th of July to August the 7th, 2022. And the organisers of Birmingham, the head of the Commonwealth Games Federation, they're worried that a lot of the athletes will have to make a choice between World Athletics, World Swimming Championships and Commonwealth Games. So, you know, there's a lot of manoeuvring to go on with the sporting calendar. And, you know, I know how important the Commonwealth Games is to you guys too, as it is to us. And it'd be a shame to devalue that and force athletes into that choice of where to compete.
Yeah, no, the flow-on effect, yeah, it should could be very could be a very big disadvantage, that's for sure, for those athletes to have to make that choice. Despite your praise for Michael Clark, it's been great to speak to you, Dave, and look, have a can of Foster's for us over there.
Yeah, no, I shall definitely do that, and I've enjoyed speaking to you.
No, I've loved it as well, Dave. Anytime, buddy.
Dave Gordon there, former head of major events of the BBC Sport.